Sean Myers, before I took off for West Virginia for a week, the mountains of West Virginia, where I didn't have cell phone service for an entire week. And man, was that a blessing. That just stunned me. I felt like I was literally going through withdrawal for a couple of days, checking my pocket.
It's like a bygone era when we didn't have 24/7 communication.
It was a very strange, almost physical withdrawal. It was really, really odd. But I'll tell you, by day three up there and day four, and again, it's one of the highest points in West Virginia, and the stars were amazing. You could see the Milky Way on like three different nights. I never wanted to see the thing again. I really didn't. I think it's one of the worst things that's come along in the world, maybe ever, like devices or machines or in that category. It's just, there are some good uses for it, but mostly I feel like it's just dumbing us down. You know what I mean?
Well, the next wave is this AI that's coming that's going to be even worse than that. But I agree. I mean, I didn't have, as crazy as this sounds, I didn't have a cell phone until midway through my senior year of high school. And now I think most kids get it before they're even 10 years old.
That's the frightening part.
And it's just like, you can't go more than, what, a half an hour, an hour, without compulsively looking at
half
your phone.
A minute for kids. I mean, it's unreal.
Yes. And I know parents that they have to give their phone to their kids so that they can watch videos or play on it at all times, even when they're already
it used to be TV, which I guess,
yes,
isn't that much different when you're that little, but it's just, I don't know, man. I do know this. I was really happy not to have one. It felt like life just opened up again. Anyway, I'm dummied back down here. And the last, I guess my point there was, when last I had a phone and a working television, I was watching the Pirates lose to the White Sox 10-1 and sell the team chants were breaking out all over the place. I'm going to take a wild guess here and say when they lost again 10-4 and again 7-2 on Sunday, those intensified, or what was the story of that weekend?
Yeah, I think the biggest one was during the Mac Miller bobblehead, because that's a game where so many people were there. They were there hours and hours in advance, and the Pirates, you know, had an absolute stinker. And I think actually the Noah Constrictor, who we're going to have on, I believe he tweeted that the three most attended home games this season for the Pirates, which are two of their bobblehead giveaways and their home opener, all three games, there was a flood of sell the team chants at those contests.
I mean, even in this series against Arizona, I mean, they're not like a high-profile opponent. You had crowds of 21-2, 27-4, 20. Everyone was you know, over 20,000 per game, which is sort of amazing when you look at this team. Now, some people would label people who show up to games as suckers. I wouldn't. I like doing it. I wouldn't label them, and I wouldn't want to be labeled that. I don't think it's a fair label.
You don't have to be an avid baseball fan to enjoy a baseball game, even if your team's not great. So I would never begrudge anyone who goes to those games.
Neither would I. You can both go to the games and demand that the team be better. You know, I love these people who say, just don't show up. Well, no, I want to go. I'm entertained. I'm not going to just not show up at the ballpark. I like it.
And
lots of people
would
apparently
say, well,
do.
I'm not going to let my kid go to a game because the Pirates don't spend enough money. Well, then you're taking away potential joy from a kid. So, I mean, it's every scenario is different.
In the meantime, they are completely squandering Paul Skeens' existence here as one of the greatest pitchers who ever lived through 45 games. The greatest pitcher since the early 1900s by, I think, probably the most measurable sort of conventional stat, and that's ERA. He doesn't let other teams score. And he's the greatest pitcher at that through 45 games since like 1914, somewhere in there. What should they do at the trade deadline? 412-928-9370. I think the AAA route, as far as getting a high-end prospect like Owen Casey from the Cubs, Spencer Jones from the Yankees, that ilk of player is where I want to go if I'm trading Mitch Keller. There are a couple of options as far as bona fide major leaguers, but the ones that seem to be available are tailing off this season. And you're always going to have issues with years of control with most of those guys. Let's hit the lines, Sean.
All right, we'll head out to Columbus with Jay.
What's up, Jay?
Starkey, most Pirate fans probably don't remember or are not even going to believe this, but the Pirates made Dave Parker the first $1 million professional sports athlete of all time. $1 million. In the 80s, they'd signed bombs like George Hendricks, Leo Mazzilli, give them outrageous amount of money. In the 90s, they locked up Grayback. They had Van Slyke. They had Bonds play until last years of arbitration and made him a pretty competitive offer. And then the McCarthy era, he locked up Jared Kendall. And since probably 2010, after the McCutchen lockup, I mean, this ownership is an embarrassment to baseball. And I can't believe that they developed pitching that good and can't get a good hitting coach. I mean, Henry Davis is the number one overall draft pick, and he's batting .175.
Is it the hitting coach, or is it finding and identifying the right kind of talent?
It's the hitting coach.
The hitting coach is the main problem. They've changed hitting coaches. How many hitting coaches do you want? Yes. They blew out, what's his name, Andy Haynes? And brought in, who is it now? I don't even know.
So all these guys got mental. Hitting is mental. Are you trying to tell me that every single stud player that can't hit for the Pirates and then he goes somewhere and hit 300?
So name one. Name one.
Coach, what is
name
it?
One who's done that.
Oh, geez. I can't. Off the top of my head.
Oh, it's Matt Haig. How could I forget Matt Haig, the hit collector? So they've. Yeah. I appreciate the call. It's not about the hitting coach. Bring in somebody, identify talent better.
If you're depending on your major league hitting coach to completely determine the fate of the guys that are on your team, then something's gone wrong. They can help a little bit.
Now, yeah, maybe, you know, in a general kind of way, their ability to develop hitters from the ground up here could be problematic. But again, I don't know how much talent they're working with. Now, you can work your way around that by finding hitters who are already established. The best they could do in the offseason was Tommy Pham, Adam Frazier, and Spencer Horwitz. Those guys like that are revolving around Major League Baseball like the stars that I saw in West Virginia. You just pick one out. There's millions of them.
Those are low-risk moves.
There's millions of them. Go find an impact hitter or two. How come other teams on budgets like this can do it and the Pirates can't? Next.
We'll go to Florida and specifically Fort Lauderdale to hear from Mark.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, great to talk to you as always, Joe. I happened to be last week in Indianapolis. I saw Bubba Chandler throw Thursday. If the Pirates don't call him up, it's like a criminal thing because the guys, I mean, it's like overcooking meat. The guy's ready to go. I mean, it just threw a phenomenal against a Tiger team that had five of their top 30 prospects. But I think the big difference, Joe, between Milwaukee and Pittsburgh is one major area in the front office. And it's a really weird situation in Pittsburgh because Ben Cherington developed pitching, which is by far the hardest thing to go in baseball. But where he misses, The Brewers actually have a guy from Pittsburgh who's a Pittsburgh connected, Mike Berger, who was the assistant general manager for the Marlins when they developed Stanton, Yelich, and Zuno. And he's assistant now to Matt Arnold in Milwaukee. You also got Doug Melvin, who was a former assistant general manager, and Matt Klentak, who ran the Phillies. And I just don't think Cherington has all these numbers guys and young people and all that stuff that they want in analytics. But he's missing baseball people in his front office. And I think that's a big difference because Berger grew up in Central Catholic High School. He was a teammate of Dan Marino in their 78 team. And Tony LaCava, who's the assistant general manager of the Blue Jays, was a second baseman on that team. And, I mean, you need baseball people besides the analytical people in your front office.
I agree. I agree 1,000%. And the Brewers are just very clearly, I appreciate the call, a smarter organization. They're sitting there in a market smaller than Pittsburgh. 41,000 Friday night, 39,000 Saturday against Miami, 40,000 yesterday. They're 19 games over. Nobody or very few people are picking the Brewers to win this division again. You know why? Because they lose really good players every single year. They're the National League version of the Rays. Like, they're so smart and have such foresight and such ability to develop and ability to find players who might be undervalued by other organizations and all they do is win.
They're off season. They traded their star closer, mm-hmm. and they saw one of their best hitters, their starting shortstop, leave for a big contract in free agency, and they've come out as seemingly a better team after all that.
And now we're going to have to sit here in a huge series starting tonight, the Brewers and the Cubs, and tomorrow night we're going to have to sit there and watch Quinn Priester, who's 9-2 with a 3.28 ERA. Man, the kicks in the groin never stop. It's like that one GIF where the, I think it's a karate guy who's squatting and just taking about 1,000 rapid fire kicks right in the groin. You know that one?
That sounds awful.
I think he's a Pirate fan, actually. Next.
We're going to go to Greg in Youngstown.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, how's it going? I saw that player stats in the minors. He seems like Sawinski. Strikes out a lot.
Which guy are you talking about?
Who's that guy from the Cubs? What's his name? Hold on.
Owen Casey.
Yeah. Strikes out a lot. His average is okay. Sawinski was hitting in the minors too. So my problem is, I don't mind trading Keller, but you're going to give me two players. I'm not giving you one so you win a World Series. That's not going to happen. Or I'll just keep Keller.
I'm not sure that Mitch Keller takes you to the World Series either. Would you like to know his stats from the last two seasons when at least...
Well, what's he doing this year? Please, this year.
No. He was doing good for the first 3 or 4 months the last 2 years, too.
No.
Doing great.
Go this year.
I'm not going this year because we haven't hit the biggest months yet. That's why I'm not going this year yet.
Why don't you give the guy credit this year? He's their second best pitcher. He's one of the best pitchers in the
Good for him.
League
he was good
year.
Last year, too. And then when the games got important, he had a 6.75 ERA in August.
Give up.
And in September, a 6.66 ERA. You want to know the year before?
Listen, I guarantee we trade Keller, they go to the World Series.